Man, amen. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. Such a great job, and also the Wolvotneys that just did a wonderful job too. So that was really sweet. So I can remember various gifts that have been given over the years, and probably one of the best parts of gifts is if someone put time and thought into those gifts. And one of the gifts that is very memorable to me was when we were in Tucson, our daughter Emily was in third grade, and we had had this conversation with our kids. We asked them this question: would you rather go to Disneyland or get gifts for Christmas? And you know what the answer was? Disneyland, yes, right? So what happened was Emily went to school and she had this conversation with her teacher. She said, yeah, our parents decided not to give us gifts this year for Christmas. So I don't know what happened with the translation, but for some reason, our name got put into the Christmas angel tree at the school. And I get a call one day, and they say, we have some gifts here at the school for you. And I said, really? And I went down to retrieve the gifts. And I come into the office, and to my right is a bag, a black bag of gifts. And I'm talking to the staff member, and she says, do you need help taking the gifts out to the car? And I'm saying, no, not really. I mean, there's just a bag right here, right? This is just right here. And she says, no, actually, there are six bags. So she helps carry two bags. I carry two bags to the car. I go back, get two more bags, come back to the car, go home. The kids, when school's all done, we have this conversation with them. And we tell them the story, what happened. And they were excited, and we were excited. And so we decided to lay them out on the floor and bury them with gifts. And we could not figure out how many gifts there were, as you can see. We buried them with all these gifts. And God blessed that, just overwhelmed with us with his love through that time. And I think there were gifts in there that were exactly what the kids needed, like the same size of shoes and the same size of pants and the exact things that they needed. It was just a wonderful example of God's love to us. And so I wonder if you can remember a time, and you don't have to answer this, but think of a time when you've received a gift that was thoughtful and made you feel deeply loved. And just think about that for a minute. Christmas time is when people tend to show more love to family. They show more love to people around them, to their neighbors, to even complete strangers. They show more love. It's just that time of year. And Christmas is a time where there's warmth. And then there's also, it's a time that softens our heart. In fact, that's how it should be, right? Because God's love came down to earth. And so this year has been disappointing and discouraging. It has brought fear and anxiety. It has brought destruction and death, and this virus has come, and it has disrupted life as we know it. It has limited special times of us getting together and celebrating. However, in the midst of all the struggle, we remember that 2,000 years ago, in the middle of darkness, the light came. Through political turmoil, religious unrest, violence, and confusion, a world lost, a world not so different from today, a baby was born. The promised Messiah, the Messiah, Christ the King, the light of the world, the God of hope, the author of faith, our exceeding joy, the Prince of Peace. And Jesus is still the light of the world. And so in Matthew 4:16, you've heard this before, but this is a powerful statement. The people living in darkness have seen the great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Christmas time is a time of hope. It's a time of joy. It's a time of peace. And it's a time of love. And so can you imagine the faces of Mary and Joseph holding the new baby in their arms? They were overjoyed. Can you imagine the joy of the face on their faces of the shepherds when they heard the angels, and the angels came and sang and told them the story, and they went to the manger and saw the Messiah? And so, yes, Christmas began as a time for love and joy in the midst of darkness. 1 John 3:1 is another, one of my favorites. It says this: "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him." So I want you to think about what John has written and apply it to the Christmas story of love. In fact, we're going to watch the story from kids' perspective. And this is brings joy to, I think, anybody who watches it. So let's watch.
An angel came to see Mary.
She was doing laundry. And then the angel just appeared and she was really scared. So Gabriel was like, "Mary, you're going to have, Mary, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a baby. You will call him Jesus." And then Mary was like, "I'm not going to have a baby yet. I'm only a teenager. I'm not married." Then the angel Gabriel told Joseph that Mary is not lying. You are having a new baby. And so they met up. They went to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's old town.
They ride a donkey.
A camel.
Oh, yeah, a camel.
She said, "This donkey's fast." Well, they tried to go to a hotel, and
they asked the keeper for a place to stay. The keeper said,
"We have no rooms. Literally, no rooms."
So Mary and Joseph walked away sadly, but then he said,
"The only place in here in Bethlehem that you can stay is a stable." And then he just pointed the way, and they followed. When the shepherds were taking care of the sheep,
then they saw angels.
The angels said, "A new baby is getting born, who is King of the Jews."
The angel was singing,
"Glorious." And then the shepherds said, "I think we should go there and meet him." The second, I think, said, "Yeah, I agree with you." And the other said, "Yeah, me too." They had to walk through a bunch of grass and bushes, maybe have to camp out a night. Then the wise men heard about it.
And then a star appeared.
"Well, we should probably follow that star. It's pointing down to the barn.
So maybe we should follow it. Maybe." So the wise men went to Jesus.
They gave them gifts.
A stuffed animal, like a hippo one that I have at home.
some diapers, and some wipes, and some milk, some shoes, some Jordans.
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
And I don't know how I would survive in that barn. Too stinky, too crowded, and ugh.
I think he probably pooped because the room was very smelly.
Thank you for coming.
He's adorable.
He's gonna be our best friend.
I love you, and you're the best baby I ever seen. There, I said it.
The new baby is gonna change the world.
Yeah, this baby is going to change the world. Isn't that great? That is such a sweet but powerful statement and video. So you can share that with others this week. And so as we look at 1 John, I want you to see, I want you to hear, I want you to feel what John is trying to say to us. So open your Bibles to 1 John 4, 7 through 21. Now, you got to understand, John is making a point. And it's obvious that he's making a point. Because over 30 times, he says this word. You'll catch it as I read it. Verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Here he says it again. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment, the one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Christmas is about God's love. It's about God's love. And it's his time to celebrate his love. The most famous statement, we heard it earlier, in the Bible is Jesus' explanation why God sent him to earth. God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. The entire reason for the Christmas season is the love of God. God's love, God loves you so much that he came to earth as a human so you could get to know him and learn to trust him and love him back. Now, theologians, they call this the incarnation. God became one of us, a human being, so we could understand what he is really like. And so God has given us, as human beings, the capacity to know him in ways animals could not or can't. He's created us in his image, which includes the ability to enjoy a personal relationship with him. And so we see the initiative he took to send Jesus so we could understand his love and our need for him. And so, of course, we know a little about God by simply observing his creation. For instance, by looking at nature, we know that our Creator loves variety. He created an incredible diversity in the universe. I mean, think about the difference in plants, in animals, in rock formations, and even in snowflakes. There's this incredible diversity. And in human beings, even twins are not exactly alike. And so God doesn't, he doesn't make the same thing. He makes so many different diversities and beautiful things. You've heard the phrase, you've heard this phrase probably, after you were born, God broke the mold. That you are unique and he created you that way for a reason. We also know that God is powerful and he is organized and he has systems and that he loves beauty. We know this because we see how humans enjoy God's creation. If there were things that we didn't enjoy, I think it would be a thought that we would think that God didn't want us to enjoy them. He gave us taste buds. So he filled the world with flavors. You can think of all those flavors during Christmas time: chocolate and raspberry and peppermint and hazelnut and vanilla, and you can go on and on. Isn't that amazing how God created taste buds so we could taste and enjoy his creation? He gave us eyes to perceive color and texture and shapes. It's just amazing. And he gave us sensitive ears so we would enjoy rhythms and bass and treble and music. And so when we look at creation, we can see how God made the world beautiful, and we can see his fingerprint in it. It would probably be a sad world if it was tasteless and colorless and silent. But the Bible says that God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. He didn't have to do that, but he did, because he loves us. But so we see creation, we see his evidence in creation, but we don't really understand God's love, or we didn't understand God's love until Jesus came to this earth. Jesus arrives, and we begin to see and understand his love. So God invaded the earth. It's the greatest invasion in history, and nothing has been the same since. God could have chosen thousands of ways to communicate to us. But since he designed us, he knew the best way to communicate with us was face to face. We understand that nowadays, right? Because we don't have the face to face as much because of COVID. But God came down to this earth. He wanted to communicate to us face to face. And if he wanted to communicate to a bird, he would come and become a bird to communicate to the bird, right? If he wanted to communicate to a cow, he would probably be come down and become a cow, communicate to it, right? But he came as a human being to communicate to us. He became one of us. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send a prophet. He didn't send a politician. He sent himself. And if you really want people to know how much you love them, you can't send a representative to communicate it. You have to send, it has to be personal. And that's what God did at Christmas. So 1 John, it tells us that God is love. It doesn't say that God has love. It says that God is love. And so love is the essence of God's character. It is his nature. It is the reason that everything in the universe exists is because God wanted to love it. And so think about it this way. If God didn't want to love something, he would not have created it. Everything you see, millions of things that you can't see, was made by God for his enjoyment. He loves it all, even when we mess it up with our sin. He still has a purpose for it. Every star, every planet, every plant, every animal, every cell, and most of all, every human being was created out of God's love, out of him who is love. And so we were created as an object of God's love. He made you in order to love you. And so his love is the reason you're alive and breathing. Think about that for a minute. The reason why you're still breathing, the reason why you're breathing and alive is because he loves you. And so every time your heart beats, every time you take a breath, God is saying, I love you. I love you. You would not exist if God had not wanted you. There are no accidental humans. God has created you for a purpose, to love you. But there's more to that. Did you know that God was thinking of you even before he made the world? He was thinking of you. In fact, that is why he created the earth. It is designed, this planet is designed to have an environment for humans. It's just the right setup for us to live on. And he loves you when you don't even feel his love as much as when you do feel his love. He loves you regardless of your performance. He loves you regardless of your moods or your actions or your thoughts. He loves you for his love for you is unchanging. And everything else will change during your lifetime, but God's love never changes. It's constant. There's nothing you can do that will change God's love for you, that will stop him loving you. You could try, but you'd fail, because God's love for you is based on his character and not your conduct. His love is based on who he is, not on what you have done. Not on what you've done. It's on him and his character and and who he is. The Bible says that Christ's love is greater than anyone can ever know. And so my prayer for you is that you will know his love in a deep way. But here's a little bit of a glitch. In the Christmas season, many people only think of Jesus as a baby. And their concept of him is only as a helpless newborn in his mother's arms. So, but if Jesus had never grown up to do what he did, he'd have no power to transform our lives. But the baby born in Bethlehem did not stay a baby, did he? He grew up. He became a man. He modeled for us the kind of life that pleases God. He taught us the truth. He paid for every sin we commit by dying on the cross. Then he proved that he was God and could save us by coming back to life. And this is good news. When the Romans nailed Jesus to the cross, they stretched his arms out wide, as wide as they could. With his arms wide open, Jesus physically demonstrated, "This is how much I love you. I love you so much it hurts. I'd rather die without you." That's what he was saying when he went on the cross. And so next time when you see that, remember, when you see that picture or that when you see the cross and you see how much Jesus loves you, that's how much. And so what is our response? You know, a few minutes of telling you that God loves you. What is our response to that love? My guess is you've experienced his love over the years. My guess is you have been given gifts. You have felt his love through a hug or through a word spoken or through a gift. But how do we express our love back to him? How do we express our love in a way that is thoughtful and meaning? Well, the simplicity of it is we give ourselves back to him. We give our being, our spirit, our soul, our mind to him. And it says in 1 John that we cannot love. Period. We cannot love without God, because God is love. And so when we give ourselves back to God, we can then love one another. And probably one of the best gifts that we could give back to God would be to love one another, to love others. It says it multiple times in that passage. And so when you receive God's great love, then and only then are you able to love others because of that love. It says that God is love. God personifies love. In fact, if it has to do with God, it has to do with love. I'll kind of spell it out for us this morning. Mercy is God's forgiving love. Grace is God's undeserving love. Peace is God's comforting love. The will of God is God's perfect love. Providence is God's caring love. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is God's proven love. Sanctification is God's nurturing love. Heaven is God's rewarding love. And eternity is God's unending love. He loves, he loves, he loves. And so God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him, that we might love because he loved. Martin Luther said it well. God does not love us because we are valuable. We are valuable because God loves us. And so because of God's love, we can love. Because of God's love, we can love him back. We can love others. And so, if we love others, God lives in us. His love is made complete in us. We love because he first loved us. And he has given us this command. So this command, it sounds like, oh, this is difficult stuff. And yet, it is something that we can give back to God, to love others. Think about it this way. To be transformed into the image of Christ means to increasingly reflect his loving character in our behavior, in our attitudes, Therefore, if we are not becoming more loving, we have taken a wrong turn somewhere, either by neglecting our relationship with him or by disobeying his commands. And so I thought I would give you a paraphrase of 1 Corinthians 13 in Christmas style. It goes like this. If I decorate my house perfectly with twinkling lights, but do not show love to my neighbor, I'm just another decorator. If I slave away in the kitchen, baking dozens of Christmas cookies, preparing a ham and its fixings, but do not show love, I'm just another cook. If I wear a mask and speak mean words under it, I have no love. If I don't wear a mask and judge others, I am just a loud noise. If I work at Shem, go caroling at Wiley Creek, and give all that I have to Samaritan's Purse, but do not show love, it profits me nothing. If I set up a 9-foot tree with angels and ornaments, attend a plethora of holiday parties, and sing in the singing Christmas tree, but do not have focus on Christ, I have missed the point. Love stops the cooking to hug a child. Love sets aside the decorating to kiss the hubby. Love does not is kind, though it is tough and tiring. Love doesn't envy anyone's home that has 6 cars in the front yard and a shop. Love doesn't yell at the kids to get out of the way. Love doesn't give only to those who are able to give in return, but rejoices in giving to those who can't. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Sure, Xboxes break, cell phones get lost, chainsaws will rust, but giving the gift of love will endure. So, God loves us. He loved us before we loved him. What are we supposed to do in response to that? Love him, love others. It's that simple. And so what would happen this Christmas if you loved God like he loves you? What would happen if you loved others like God loves others? I love seeing this guy who goes around every year, Christmas time. He's called the Secret Santa. And he's anonymous. He doesn't tell anybody who his true identity is. And he goes around and he hands people $100, a $100 bill, and just says, Merry Christmas. And 2 years ago, in Phoenix, Arizona, he comes to the city of Phoenix, and he finds a random homeless guy, and he hands him $3,000 of $100 bills and asks him to help him show love to other people. And so instead of telling you the whole story, I want you to watch the video. It's pretty incredible.
You never know where Secret Santa will show up or who might be helping. Here's Steve Hartman on the road.
Ma'am, how are you doing today? You ready for Christmas?
A lot of people ignore the homeless. But folks rushing past Moses today, Elder may regret their haste.
I'm blowing it.
Because this week, all people had to do was pay him some attention.
Ladies!
And he would pay them back in Benjamins.
So there's $100 for you.
You can imagine the shock.
$100 for you.
Thank you.
Oh, that's what Christmas is all about.
Moses' mission was financed by Secret Santa.
Merry Christmas to you, sweetie.
The same anonymous, wealthy businessman who every year goes around the country handing out $100 bills to random strangers.
What to do with this?
But this holiday season, in addition to his normal giving, he came here to Phoenix.
Morning.
Good morning.
And recruited this most unlikely homeless elf.
I want to enlist you to help me. Can we do that?
Yes.
All right. So,
oh, man.
So here's what we're going to do.
He gave Moses about $3,000 with the instruction to give it away to whoever he saw fit.
I think this will be a joyful experience for him. You know, it's a myth that, you know, the homeless just take. From my experience, the people with the least give the most of what they have.
We saw that, too.
Hey, come here for a minute. Come here.
Danny McCoy put change in the cup, even though he has seven kids, and until this moment...
This is $100 for you, sir, for showing your kind heart.
...had no idea how he was going to buy Christmas presents.
Eternally grateful for what he did.
You are looking for a job?
And that's the kind of relief Moses brought to so many here.
You had that for me.
Most of those he blessed were strangers who just happened by.
God bless you.
But not all.
We love you. Don't you ever forget that.
He gave this guy from church $400. He gave this homeless mother of five $500.
And remember, people appreciate you with your caring, giving heart that you take care of your kids the way you do.
Thank you.
Okay?
Of course, in the end, Secret Santa also gave Moses some money to keep for himself.
This here is a new beginning for me.
But he says that reward pales to the joy he received from helping others.
Today we changed a lot of people's lives, but I believe my life was changed the most. God bless us both.
He says even when you're homeless, it feels so much better to give than receive.
Y'all don't know, I'm happier than y'all.
You know, kindness is a bridge between all people. And so if you're ever down and you want to lift yourself up, go do something kind for somebody.
Maybe that'll help you.
It'll make you feel like way more than $100.
There you go. Thank you. That's okay.
Steve Hartman.
That's okay.
On the road in Phoenix.
Yes, that's okay.
Now, you may not have $100. You may not have a bunch of $100, but you do have God's love to give. And so how is God calling you to love? Now, there's a time, during this time, there are a lot of people who are lonely. There are a lot of people who are isolated. And so consider how God might be calling you to listen to someone or to speak a comfort word to them or to help them provide a need, to fill a need. Some examples, a phone call. Writing them a letter. Give them your contact information so that if they do have a need, they can contact you. Drop off extra supplies to an elderly person. Take cookies to someone. Or connect digitally to someone. These are just examples. I mean, the most immediate right now that I know of is there are people who are dealing with flooding right now. And you could do the simplest thing and go down and fill sandbags at the city, the old city hall across the street by the library. They're filling up sandbags right now to help people. Those are simple things that you can do to show God's love. And you know what? When you do show love to someone else, you're giving God a gift. Like the little drummer boy that said in the song, even though it's fictitious, he didn't know what to give the Lord, but he played his song. So when you give to somebody else, when you love somebody else, you are giving a gift back to God. I want to end with this. Christina Rossetti wrote this in 1885. It's a poem that's turned into songs. And she wrote this. It's simple, about God's love. Love came down at Christmas. Love all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas. Star and angels gave the sign. Worship we the Godhead, love incarnate, love divine. Worship we our Jesus, but wherewith of sacred sign. Love shall be our token. Love be yours and love be mine. Love to God and all men. Love for plea and gift and sign. We can love people because God loved us, giving our time, giving our talent, giving what we have been given to others. And so God is calling his people. God is calling you and I to be a blessing, to be, most importantly, to provide hope to those that are hopeless, that are fearful and struggling and isolated and lonely. And so I want to encourage all of us this morning to consider how we can give a gift back to the Lord. May we love one another. Let's pray. Father, thank you for John, who wrote this. And he gave such a clear picture or understanding of what love looks like. And so I pray that you would help us, Lord. Help us to have open hands and open hearts to receive that love and then to give it, and the readiness to give it to others. Lord, may you love those that are less fortunate through us. May you love those that are struggling and sad and isolated and lonely through us. May we be your conduit. May we be your hands and feet this Christmas season. We thank you, we praise you, and we love you. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen.